Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. Always feel free to get in touch with me. You can write to bruce@catholicsportsradio.net or even DM me through the @CathSportsRadio Instagram account or send a private message through the Facebook page. There are links to those social media accounts and Twitter as well on the show website, catholicsportsradio.net, where you can not only sign up for free for the new weekly e-newsletter, but also find a button to go over to our Facebook group, the Catholic Sports Radio community. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. In sports, we always hear a coach talking about not overlooking a perceived weak opponent, meaning a team that is near the bottom of the standings. We've all heard it so many times before, that sports expression, "don't get caught looking ahead," which is a reference to already seeing who will be coming up next on the game schedule after the team that it's easy to look past and think is a guaranteed win. The temptation of that mindset also comes up in the playoffs when a team is one victory away from advancing to the next round. And isn't that also like in our daily lives when we're being pulled into a similar scenario, whether it's our personal lives or our job or something where the focus is not where it should be, meaning now, today, the present? There's a passage in the New Testament that we've all heard so many times, yet it becomes easy to recite, but the importance, the emphasis, should be on living it out now instead of getting caught looking ahead. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, we read, "Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient for a day is its own evil." Moving on now with this week's episode. From an early age, my guest wanted to be a cowboy. He loved working cattle with his dad and competing for ribbons and trophies in youth rodeos. In high school, he not only played football and other sports, but won a national championship in the boys' cutting horse contest. In college, he competed in rodeo events, and after college, as a steer wrestler at the professional level, and he is still active in team roping today. Sports even carried over into his business, entertaining clients with hunting, golfing, fishing, and motorcycle trips. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Lance Mudd.
Thank you, Bruce. It's a pleasure to be here, and I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Likewise. At the end of our conversation, I'm going to ask you about the family you have, but let's start out first by having you tell us about the family you grew up in. How many of you there were, where this was, and I'm assuming it having been a Catholic household?
Yes, sir. I was raised in Southwest Louisiana, on the Gulf Coast, a little town, Creole. Have an older sister, a younger brother. My mom was the spiritual leader of our family, and my dad, he was a good man, hard worker, but, you know, he provided and, you know, he'd go to Mass when he could. But our upbringing went through catechism, all the sacraments, and mom made sure that we went to Mass no matter what. You know, we didn't miss Mass for rodeo, baseball, or nothing. You know, we went to church.
Well, I mentioned in the intro about working cattle with your dad, competing for ribbons and trophies, and just finding more and more success in rodeo as the years went on. And that, I think you're going to tell us, became a large part of your identity, yes?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, it was. You know, we rode the horses on the ranch, tend to cattle and stuff, and then we learned about these little horse shows and play days. And I was most probably 6-7 years old when I first went to one, and, man, they gave us ribbons and buckles and trophies, and it was like, man, I was hooked, you know, and doing what I loved, and, man, you get all this, and it was good. It just, I mean, I just loved it. I played football and other sports, but some reason or another, the horses drew me into the rodeo, and that was my identity, and that's what I like, you know.
but the more and more that your life went on and the more success that you had with it, even though you just told us that your mom made sure that you were in church all the time, I think you really got drawn specifically to sports and not your faith. Am I on the right track there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. In high school, I was able to balance it out good because mom was there. But when I left to go to college rodeo, I rodeoed for McNeese State. And I worked retreats, but I fell away, you know, being cowboys, drinking and raising sane. And we was pretty rough, you know. But we was rodeoing every weekend, and then I started missing mass and, you know, not saying my rosary. And, you know, it was just easy. Nobody persuaded me to do it. It's just that the love for the sport and the lifestyle that we lived, because in college they pay you money. You know, you can win money. Then we'd amateur rodeo on the side of that. So it was fun, man. It was like the Wild West. You know, and the thing with rodeo, and it's not like baseball or football where you get on a bus with your team and coaches. The college rodeo, and you have your own vehicle, your own horses. So we'd pile up six guys in one truck, load up five horses, and, you know, go rodeo at the college level. And you ride, and whenever you finish, man, we was in the bars drinking, fighting, and whatever we want to do, you know. So it was different than other sports.
Well, when I introduced you, I had also mentioned about sports having carried over into your business. But as much as we're hearing you right now talking about going all in with rodeo, especially at college, and then, of course, your career moved on from there, the story goes that you really got caught up in being a businessman and making money.
Yes, sir. Whenever I left rodeo and the pro rodeo and stuff, I was broke, and I went on to start, had a little waste company, and we built it up. I sold it to Waste Management, and but through the sports, it taught me, you know, the work ethic that it takes, and that you're going to lose more than you're going to win. That makes sense. And, you know, I started making money, which I never really had, and got a little ego to me. You know what ego stands for, edging God out. But it become my God, you know, because I didn't have to be 6 foot two and 250 pounds. You know, I was smaller for a steel wrestler, had good technique, but just wasn't big enough to play on the pro level. So I started getting into the business world and entertaining guys, you know, hunting, fishing, and golfing. And there was always drinking and having a good time. So I built it up, sold it to Waste Management. I was about 31 years old.
And continue on with the story, because I know that that path, even though it led to a lot of wealth and a lot of success, it also led you very much away from living a life of a devout Catholic.
Yeah, after I sold it, I worked for them a couple of years, and I wasn't corporate material. So I started, I bought a little company that my dad had, and I built it up, and I sold it 5 years ago. But, you know, in the business world, I did not know how to be a good Catholic and a businessman. You know, I didn't know about moderation and balance. I was all in business, and that was my God. I neglected, you know, my family, my kids, and I would take them rodeo, and my kids rodeo. But anyway, the business world, the money, you know, the Rolexes, the motorcycles, the motorhomes, all the stuff that said would make you happy, it didn't, you know. It would fulfill me for a little while, but then, you know, it would vanish, you know. So I'd take my kids to church like my mom did, but my mom did a lot more praying during the week. But I'd bring them to make sure they went to church, but that was it. I pawned my kids off on my catechism teachers to teach them about prayer, religion. But my wife was very good. She was a good mom. She taught my girls, and she understood her vocation of being the mom and teaching them about God and prayer. And I didn't even realize I had a vocation at the time. You know, it was about making money and providing.
Yeah. So in other words, you were making sure that your kids were going to church, but it was almost just, okay, I got them there. Now somebody else look after them, whether it's your wife or whether it's the catechism teachers or whoever it was, because you were more interested in building up your business and, like you said, chasing after material things. And you could say you were going to Mass, but really you were really worshiping all those things that you just listed, the money and all the possessions.
Yes, sir. I mean, that's how I guess I measured success, even when I was young, through rodeoing and whatever. It's about what you win, you know, and the business world is about what was in my checking account, my saving account. You know, that's how I measured my success, and that's what would drive me to get up and work 7 days a week, 14 hours a day, whatever I had to do, you know.
So you became fully committed to your business, not so much your family, the way that a husband and a father should be. You're making all this money, you're taking clients out, you're drinking, you're playing sports with them. I'm talking about your clients doing things like golfing and motorcycle trips and hunting, fishing. And at some point, there's a victory in that the Lord ultimately wins your heart back. So tell us that story, including a powerful and personal encounter you had with God during a mission trip to Mexico.
Yes, sir. It was in 2010. We went out to this casino. Me and my family went to celebrate, make a long story short. I get really drunk and stay up all that night and come in about, I don't know, 3 a.m. And I get up, finally wake up, and my wife wasn't in bed. I thought maybe she was downstairs, whatever. And I call her on the cell phone, and she's home, whatever. And the room was dark, and I go open up the curtains, and the sun's bright. It's 1 o'clock in the day.
Mm.
And I go to the bathroom, wash my face, and I looked in the mirror, and I saw someone that I didn't like, didn't know. And, you know, I had to take a taxi cab home. I live 30 miles from there. I got a cab. My kids seen me get out the vehicle. And, you know, financially, I was okay, but mentally, physically, spiritually, I was broke, bankrupt, you know. And on the way home, I don't know, the Holy Spirit just moved me, and I walked in and set my wife down like I hadn't in many years and, you know, told her I was sick. I said, look, I'm sick. I said, I'm an alcoholic. And she said, you know, you're going to go to rehab. I said, look, I'll do whatever I have to do, but through the grace of God, this is crazy. I woke up the next night, couldn't sleep, got my truck, drove 30 miles into town to this church, Catholic church.
Hmm.
And the doors were locked. And I was mad, like, God, I finally come here and you locked me out, you know?
Hmm.
So I walked around, and there was a little adoration chapel. I didn't even know what an adoration was.
Hmm.
But I walked in, I saw an older man in there. It was about 3-something in the morning. I walked in. I did not sit in front of him because I knew I wasn't worthy. So I sat on the side, and I fell asleep. And about 5:45, other people started coming in, and it kind of woke me up. I'm like, dang, they got problems too, you know. So that was really the start there. Then fast forward, I fly down. I hear that they need help in Mexico, building a church. So I fly down by myself, go meet the priest. I see what they're doing. And, man, I saw these statues all over down in Mexico, this lady, and I didn't even know who she was, and it was Our Lady Guadalupe. And I read about her, but it was one, these people would walk to Mass, humble, poor people, and it just blew my mind. No air conditions, their families there, they dressed nicer than I was. And I'm like, why? Why would they walk to come? Father can't be that good. His homilies, you know, he's speaking Spanish. I couldn't hear him, but it was the Holy Spirit when they raised the Eucharist.
Mm.
And it was like, I didn't hear God's voice, but it was like the Holy Spirit. They hear from me, the body and blood of Christ. They hear to receive. And it just, I don't know. I can't explain it. And to this day, I knew that was Jesus in the Eucharist. And, you know, him speaking in Spanish, I couldn't understand him. So when I came home, I started going to Mass daily, every day, front row, listening to the whole Mass.
Wow.
And, you know, it was just a blessing that Our Lady Guadalupe, you know, just took my soul and brought it to her son, Jesus. Mm. And it changed me. God showed me love and mercy, and it's changed me, you know, and it still is. I still got a long way to go, but it was a little miracle for me.
Oh, I'll say, wow. Wow. Let's all take a moment to collect ourselves here. That's powerful stuff, Lance. That's really powerful. And I'm curious too, because this is something I read about you that I'm fascinated to hear you tell us about. Quote, where world champion cowboys had once been his role models, Lance learned some surprising lessons from six Catholic saints who taught him valuable lessons of riding the range to holiness. End quote. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, I remember my mom and the older ladies always talking about saints, saints. And I'm like, what about them, you know? And then I never read a book in my life, to be honest. Tom, Jerry, nothing. I went to college, never bought a book, high school. Be honest, I cheated my way through. I never read a book. This priest gave me the Diary of St. Faustina. While I was in Mexico, and he said, hopefully you read it before you die. So I opened the book, and there she was, St. Faustina, 1905. She was born, died in 1938. I'm all like, wow, this is a modern woman. Mm-hmm. But, you know, growing up through sports, I always had role models that I looked up to, whether it was John Wayne, Roy Cooper, you know, Terry Bradshaw as a quarterback, whatever. I had role models I looked up to. And then all of a sudden, like, the Holy Spirit pinged me, like, I started learning about St. Francis of Assisi, St. Faustina, St. Paul, Blessed Miguel Pro, St. Therese. And it was like, not, I always thought saints were called at 10, 12, you know. Mm. And then as I started reading about these saints, there was a lot of them that wasn't perfect, you know. And I'm like, wow, there's hope, you know, there's hope. And so as I started reading and learning about the saints, each one of them, as God revealed them to me, kind of started helping develop me with the formation that gave me hope, you know, because to me, the church was always rules, blah, 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 blah. But these saints kind of opened my eyes that, hey, man, you don't have to be perfect, but this is how I did it. And, you know, as I read on them and looked, it was like, you know, St. Francis taught me about the detachment, St. Faustina, the divine mercy, St. Therese, you know, doing little things, not having to be noticed, always wanting pat on the back. I don't know. It just, the saints opened my eyes to what the Catholic Church really had to offer as far as obedience, the sacraments, and how their prayer life was so structured. But yet they wasn't perfect, but they persevered and kept on, you know. So it gave me hope. It was exciting to learn about them.
Yeah, it sounds like it opened your eyes to that expression, every saint has a past and every sinner has a future.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, folks, I think that especially for the uninitiated who don't really know about rodeo, there's kind of this stereotype where you get a picture in your head of a rider being bucked off and falling to the ground, hoping to then get out of harm's way. And Lance has known an injury or two in his day, unfortunately, and I know he has a story about being in a hospital and wondering if he would walk again. But before I have him tell us that, let me share with you that this episode is being released just over 24 hours after I will have returned from Dallas from Podcast Movement, which is the largest podcasting conference out there, and an opportunity for me to learn even more to try to improve this show, including how to attract more listeners, which is ultimately helping towards one of the goals of this Catholic Sports Radio ministry, meaning bringing more people closer to Christ. I mentioned that trip because I don't get any income from doing Catholic Sports Radio, nor do I have any sponsors, which unfortunately means that I have to somehow find a way out of my own pocket to try to come up with all the expenses associated with doing this every week, every month, more than 3.5 years now. So the Podcast Movement Conference had cost me $198 as the registration fee. The hotel was $567. And by the way, that was staying offsite to try to save money, meaning not at the conference hotel. Of course, there are the flights, meals, you get the picture. I am committed to keeping this ministry going, but I do have to admit that these expenses are a real challenge for me, unfortunately. I'm blessed that I've had some guests and some listeners make a financial contribution to Catholic Sports Radio, but as you hear, the expenses just keep adding up. So friends, I do sincerely ask you to consider doing the same, especially if you're finding value in all that I'm doing through this ministry and you feel that you're getting something out of the work that I'm doing through Catholic Sports Radio, and it is helping you in your faith life and would like to support what I'm doing. They're not talking in church these days about prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, but we know that we should always be evaluating what more we can be doing in terms of tithing, to which I would ask you to please prayerfully consider a financial contribution to my ministry. You can use the blue Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net, which is simple and secure, and maybe best of all is that you get to type in whatever amount you're comfortable with. There's no drop-down menu of amounts to choose from. Or if you're not comfortable with electronic payments, just send me an email via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will write you back with details on sending me a check through the mail. As you've heard me do on other episodes of this show, I will happily say on the air the name of anyone who contributes, regardless of the amount, or as some have asked me to do, you can instead choose to remain anonymous. I'm truly grateful to everyone who listens, and I appreciate whatever you can do to help me continue working to move more people closer to Christ through this ministry. Lance, before all that, I was starting to allude to injuries. We don't need to go through your entire medical chart, but I mentioned back in the intro that you're not completely retired from sports competition, and in fact, the story I started to talk about, I think, is from the last year or two, being in a Texas hospital and wondering if you were going to be able to walk.
Yeah, so that was, in fact, it was only like 2 months ago.
Oh, wow.
I was home out here. I have a place out in Texas, and we was practicing, and for some reason, I was going the rope with steer, and my horse started bucking, and he split my pelvis, and man, I was on the ground, and I tried to get up, and finally, they my wife and some guys that was out there practicing with me just, you know, told me to lay down, and they called ambulance, and they brought me to Fort Worth Trauma Center, and you know, they didn't have to do surgery, but I was laid up there for, I don't know, 4 days, 5 days, and through the grace of God, you know, I was able to, you know, they said, look, you try to walk, and if you can't, then we're going to have to, you know, bring you into surgery. And that night, I was at peace just praying, look, God, it's your will, whatever it is, I'll have to live with it, you know. And the lady came in the next morning with a walker, and she put it, and I grabbed it, and just one step after another. And so I it's, to me, you know, it was just a gift from God. You know, we take our health for granted that morning. I've been roping every day, riding, doing what I want, and just that quick, you know. Horse never bucked with me, and that happened, and it just opened my eyes to a lot in the last 2 months. Really, it's been a blessing. I think maybe, because it's always about moderation and balance, but I don't know. I look at it as a blessing, to be honest. It could have been a lot worse. So I just take it day by day. I have to go this Wednesday to the doctor and see what's going on, but I'm able to walk now. On my own, not fast, but I'm walking, so it's all good, you know.
Yeah.
Hopefully in 4 to 5, 6 months, I'll be able to go back roping, so we'll just have to see what God's will is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, success in sports and in business doesn't exempt one from natural disasters. Lance, you experienced 4 hurricanes in Louisiana, yet you still found a way to recognize God's favor in those situations.
Yeah, so we had, in 2005, I think it was, we had Hurricane Rita come through. And 1957, there was a bad hurricane, Hurricane Audrey, and they lost a lot of lives because you didn't have the radios and technology back then for them to be able to evacuate. You know, where I lived was only at the time, I lived most probably 12 miles from the Gulf, maybe, but my parents are maybe 2 miles from the Gulf for the south. And Hurricane Rita come in with 19-foot water surges and pretty much wiped out our little communities. But the great thing was we didn't lose any lives. Everybody was able to evacuate. We lost a lot of cattle and whatnot because of the time frame. Horses, we couldn't get them out in time because we have one road in, one road out, you know. So everybody was just trying to get out to save yourself. And then, like, maybe 3 years later, we had another one come in. So it's been brutal down there. But the people, you know, have a lot of faith. You know, it just opens your eyes that we live in God's world and it's not ours, you know. So, even though we lost a lot, we still have, you know, what little community we have. We lost our Catholic churches down there on the Gulf Coast. There was three of them. So I don't even know if they're going to be able to rebuild, but there's not many people there, you know. So got to do all that. But, yes, sir, it was bad. But no one lost their lives, so that's the great thing about it. God was merciful. You can always rebuild a house and homes. It's uncomfortable and have to go through all the struggles with insurance and whatnot. But thank God we didn't have to bury people.
Wow. Amen. Amen. Oh, that put a little cry in my throat when you said that. I've said before on this show, and it's in my bio on the Meet the Host page of CatholicSportsRadio.net, that as part of the Curcio movement, I made my weekend in October 2019. And Lance, wow, you've got me beat on that by 32 years.
Yes, I made a young men's Curcio, you know, and it was great. You know, the Curcio movement, I've helped work them. I made walks. And, you know, I look back and God's been with me my whole life. It's just I would always run from him, you know. And, you know, I'd sell my soul for the flesh of the earthly things that's supposedly going to make us happy. And, you know, but the seed was planted, you know. And the Curcio movement, maybe I really believe that it did do something for me. It just took me a while to realize what the Catholic churches have to offer through Curcios and different retreats. And I encourage men, no matter what state of life you're in, whether you're holy or really don't know God that much, that, you know, they offer so many great retreats, Curcio, Acts movements, just different things that I would encourage you at least to give it a try. You know, it can't hurt. They feed you good at them, and you'll get the rest up. And, you know, maybe you'll pick up one thing. If it's just one thing that you pick up on it to help you or your family, you know, I just recommend it. You know, I'm not trying to preach or teach, but I've seen a lot of fruits from the Curcio movement and other things, other retreats out there for men.
That's right. That's right. And that's why I'm so thankful that God called me to this ministry, that someone's going to hear something that I say, someone's going to hear something that a guest says, and we'll never know what it was. It's the Holy Spirit doing the work. And I always say, if it takes the mix of faith and sports to get someone to move closer in their faith, then praise God. And I'm so humbled that he uses me as the vehicle to make that connection. Lance, you mentioned before about Mexico, and you're actually still involved in missionary projects in Mexico. Talk about the work that y'all are doing there.
Well, you know, over the last 12 years, it's changed a bunch. I used to go down there a lot, but whenever COVID hit, and then where we at is down around Cancun and Playa del Carmen. The cartels are kind of moving in there and whatnot. So it's changed a lot, you know. So we've built a lot of some adoration chapels and churches. Father James is a priest friend of mine from Mexico down there, but he came last week. But I haven't been down in a while. You know, I hadn't most probably been down there in a couple years. But I'm able to still help in certain ways. And you know, it's been a blessing to be able to go down there. You know, Our Lady, whenever I got down there, I didn't know who she was. And they still moving forward with chapels and adoration chapels. And thanks be to God on that.
No doubt. No doubt. I promised this when we first started talking. So, Lance, let's close by having you share with us all about your family, how long you've been married, how many kids you have, and maybe even what church you go to.
Yes, sir. I've been married for 31 years.
Wow.
I have three daughters, five grandchildren, and one on the way. I'm blessed that they all in the church, they attend Mass, and, you know, all families struggle. But it's been a blessing, you know. Me and my wife had some highs and lows through our marriage, and me and her made a domestic church retreat in our diocese, and that really helped me and her, you know. Because through the years, you married and you have the kids, it's all kids. And my wife, she was busy doing, then they leave the home, and you look at each other like, who are you? Who are you? You know. So. We made this retreat, and it was uncomfortable, honestly, because we had to pray together and talk about things we never did, you know, because I was always gone. And through domestic church retreat, it really opened our eyes, and it was good, you know. Then after the retreat, you have five or six couples. If they want to join, they join, and you have a priest that's in your circle, and you meet only once a month. So you're able to hear other families' weakness, strong points of what they're struggling with. So it's been very fruitful for our diocese, you know. And it's been a struggle, you know, because I struggled, talking about family, I did not realize I had a vocation of being a husband till about truly 5 years ago, you know, because I always looked at priests, nuns and deacons having a vocation. And I never really understood the sacrament of marriage. Got married in the Catholic Church. I knew I loved my wife. I was going to provide, make money. But I truly did not understand that my job was to get my wife and kids to heaven. But we can't get what we don't have, you know. But through God's grace, the last 5 years, the domestic church group has written the casillas and everything else has made me truly understand that my vocation is to try to get my wife and kids to heaven, you know. And they grown and gone, but even as a grandpa and a father, I'll be a dad to the day I die, you know. So it's not so much of what I say, it's what I do, you know. I really believe that is you know, it's easy to talk, but it's harder to walk the walk. And I just, you know, try to stay humble and try to be the best husband and father and grandfather I can be, you know. And I love my family and, you know, God first, my family, and me last, you know. So that's kind of where I'm at today on my journey. And, you know, it's a fight every day. It's a fight every day, but it's still better than the fight I used to fight. You know, I have no hard days now compared to my old life.
Well, even though you're using the word or the phrase, the title, the name, domestic church, it's obviously Catholic founded since you went to it through your parish and since you mentioned that even your diocese has embraced it. So in case there's anyone who is listening right now that wants to find out more about it, do they have a website where people can look up more information about that domestic church?
Yes, sir. It's www.domesticchurchfamilies.com.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, Lance, it's been wonderful having you on the show. God bless you and your family, and I'm really grateful that you were able to make time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. Thank you so much.
Yes. Well, Bruce, you know what? I would like to encourage, maybe challenge the people that are listening, that if they bearing fruit listening to your show, to please donate. Because I know I've helped, you know, different stations and whatnot, and it's tough to do what you do, and it's your calling. That, you know, whether it's $5, $10, and, you know, a lot of times money's tight for people. But I just ask them to at least pray about it and donate what they can, because what you're doing is of God. I don't think you're doing it for any other reason, you know.
Because
right. Whenever you called yesterday, I thought it was a spam call, to be honest. And I didn't know the air code, but I took it. And I look at it as that's just how God works, you know. So I look at what you're doing as a blessing for all of us, and that if we can all pitch in a little bit, and I'm going to donate, that we can keep bringing the word of Jesus to wherever this program may go. So God bless you, and God bless your Catholic Sports Radio.
Well, thank you. I truly appreciate that. It really, really means a lot. And this is exactly what you said. It's a calling for me, and I'm doing it for the kingdom. I'm not doing it for Bruce, and I'm not doing it for my back pocket. My back pocket doesn't have anything in it, and the only reason that I'm asking for donations is to help support the cost that I have with doing this that I think a lot of people don't realize. In fact, Lance and I are doing this. I got up early on a Saturday morning to put all this together, and he and I have been spending a lot of time with phone calls and emails and everything the past few days. I've talked on past episodes about how much time actually goes into just doing one, for all intents and purposes, 30-minute episode of Catholic Sports Radio, and it's something like 5 or 6 hours. So you're right, Lance, that's the reason that I'm doing it. I'm doing it to answer my call that I felt that the Lord put on my heart, and I'm doing it because I know there's people out there that, as I mentioned earlier on, that the Holy Spirit is going to touch in some way, and praise God, lead them just a little bit deeper in their faith life. So thank you for your support and for having said all that. It really means a lot.
Yes, sir.
And folks, Lance closed by talking about his family, and we're a little bit overdue on doing this prayer. I always try to close with a sports-related prayer, and this week I thought it would be appropriate if we close with a prayer for parents. So let's pray this together, of course, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grant us, O Lord Jesus, the strength to imitate faithfully the example of your holy family and to make our home another Nazareth. May peace, love, and happiness prevail in all things and all games. Grant us the grace to be the parents we should be for our children. Grant that our child may find solid support for their human dignity and for their growth in truth and love within the embrace of their team. May Saint Sebastian watch and guide them in their efforts as he guides us in support of our children. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.